There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
All for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out an all-point bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new
attention.
World order.
A new world
order.
Attention.
The government is the problem.
This is an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones, Dutch Jones
radio program.
And now for something completely different.
You gotta kill me. That's what you gotta do. Because if you don't kill me, I'm gonna kill you.
Lewis, are you trying to send me some kind of message I need to know about?
Oh, yeah.
Is everything okay? Over there on the other side of the table?
Oh, yes, it is.
Wow. Well, this is the Dutch Jones radio program. It is Thursday, the 17th of June. This is our day back after a repeat yesterday. I want to apologize for anybody that tuned in that didn't get word. But we just had to be down the hill taking care of business. We'll talk about that a little bit. But we are here live right now. The call-in number is 559-561-8225. I got Lou operating all kinds of stuff.
Everything.
The transmission over there of the signal, sound effects. I got my daughter Anthea's running the soundboard, so all I have to do is talk and look at the chat room. I don't always get to do that. Usually I can't be in the chat room at the same time. Make it louder, Lou. Said make it louder. Turn it up on your end. I'm not going to touch anything over here. So it's good. It sounds good. I hope so. I listened to the replays. It did sound kind of low. But it's funny because I was just listening to Liberty Tree Radio. I was listening to Spike. Spike's got a new show over there, and I like to listen to people, especially support them. Because Spike is, over the past few months, I've been having a email exchange back and forth with him on issues and stuff, and he's been helping me with a couple things. So it was nice to hear him. And right when he was going on the air, you guys know him. He called up, and he there's a guy named Sir David. He runs Patriot Broadcasting Network, which also carries this show and a bunch of the Liberty Tree shows and everything. And I guess just before Spike went on the air, he said the feds are here, and didn't explain exactly what was going on, that the feds were there. But it turns out it was Fish and Game, whatever state he's in. I think he's in upstate New York. And he had some beaver dams on his property, and the Fish and Game came in to take him out. And Spike was doing his show on there when it happened, and he kind of held the cell phone up to the microphone, and they were having a legal discussion. You know, like, you don't have a warrant, you don't have a proper permit to, you know, leave the beaver ponds alone, you know, because as we've talked about on this show, all the water things that go on, and they use that as an excuse to come on your land.
Spike Timmons.
Where's it? Timmons.
You gotta get closer.
I know. I'm leaning back down to my belt buckle. I ate too much soup for lunch.
I ate Spam and eggs.
Yeah, we had Spam and eggs for breakfast this morning.
It.
I eat more. I mean,
I had spaghetti.
Yeah, and Anthea had some spaghetti from last night. But yesterday we were gone. I had to run down the hill to Flash Electronics. Luke, could you put that website up for Flash Electronics? His website's back up. And this guy will take care of your amateur radio and CB communication needs like you wouldn't believe, and he's helping us out greatly. So please give him some love. If you're looking for a 500 watt radio, CB, 10 meter, whatever, this guy can do it. He's got a background in FM, but he doesn't have the equipment, so he's helping us get our stuff fixed. Turns out our new little 400 watt amp, because I hooked it up, I was all in a hurry to get everything going. I hooked it up, plugged everything in, got the power supply on. Little did I know, and this is stuff that I used to know that I've forgotten. Oh, how much I have forgotten. Excuse me, folks, here. The antenna we were using It's been out in the elements for 10 years now. The coax we were using had gone bad. And our SWRs were off the scale, and when I put 350 watts up the cable, about 80 of it came back in and fried the transistor in the amplifier, which isn't a total loss, because the transistor is only about $75, and I'm going to run down tomorrow and give them my lunch money for 2 weeks, because it was my fault, and we're going to pick up some new coax. Right now, what we've done, we're still on the air. I put up a ground plane antenna on about 15 feet of pole, and we're only running about 30 watts out of the exciter, so we're still getting out on our FM side, so that's good. So the people in the community will still get to hear the intelligence report and all the sermons and teachings from the church. But yesterday I was down there, and just there's so much I've forgotten about communications, and being in this little comm shack that he has. He's in Tulare, California, and it's www.flashelectronic.net. It's not electronics. I said that wrong the last time. It's www.flashelectronic.net. When last time I gave it to you, his website was down because his provider hadn't secured the domain name, but now he's got the domain name. And I actually told him, I said, you want a real good website? We'll get Lou to do it and pay him $20 a month. He'll take care of it. Or maybe we could trade something out, you know, give us, you know, some more labor and stuff like that every month. But this guy knows his stuff. I mean, in a post-collapse society, you want to be able to crank on a CB and get through all the hubbub and reach 30, 40 miles. He's the guy to get something from. I mean, when I was in it in the mid-80s, I was into CB in the 80s as a teenager. And it was just a hobby, you know, stupid thing to do, you know, because I had nothing else going on. And it's a whole different world now. The radios that they're selling, the prices are about the same, but the powers that they're outputting. So that's what we were doing yesterday. We were down there, and it's about 50 miles one way. And so what we did is we just took Stacy to work, and then the kids and I hung out until the shop opened, and then we were there for a couple hours operating stuff. Then we went and hung out in a community park, did something. Lou kept wanting to practice some of the knife stuff and unhand, you know, so we did that until a circle came and kept screaming, kill him, every time I'd put Lou on the ground. We didn't want it to be like, you know, Mortal Kombat, you know, in reality, so we had to leave. Rip his heart out and feed it to the geese. But it was a neat little park, so then we came back. So that's one struggle that we've got. We're probably going to have that under control. Tomorrow we're getting the water heater. We finally saved up enough to get a water heater, and then after that it'll be the vehicles. So just keep praying for us. Keep praying for, you know, God's healing hand on our Toyota. Got the part from outside of the state, shipped here, put it in, and it only repaired about 20% of our problems. I can get the car to move. If there's a bug out situation, I can get away, just not at a fast rate. Once it gets up to cruising speed, it's fine. But the bad news is I don't have any brakes still, so when I get up to cruising speed, I can't stop. So such are the perils. But you guys know this. It's all happening to you guys. All the attacks. It's all happening to you guys. Nothing's new. We're Christian soldiers. As soon as we make that declaration, even if we only make it to a few friends, Satan hears about it, and boom. Here come the arrows. Here comes the tripwires. Here comes Satan reaching up, trying to grab you by the ankle, you know, just to get a grip. And it's just the way it goes. But it's par for the course. You know, I would be surprised if bad things weren't happening to me. Let me put it that way. You know, I get people that send me emails all the time, like, "Hey, you must be doing the right thing because you're taking flak from the enemy." Well, that's true. That's true. But, like I said, it's part of the game, and it's part of being prepared, part of being ready. If we didn't have these little pressures now, I'd be far more fat and flabby than I even am now. I don't know if Lou took that picture down, because he figured out how to get the pictures playing again. I should do this. Let me take the volume down. I can't even see now. Oh, there it is. Mute it. But, yeah, Lou's rotating some pictures. There was one of me going over the 5.5-foot wall. I'm like, oh, man, Humpty Dumpty. So he took it down. He's being merciful to me. That wall taunts me out there for now. What other pictures we get up there? If you are on UBroadcast, if you go to UBroadcast or to DutchJones.tk to listen, depending on where you're listening, you'll be able to see some pictures of our most recent training and stuff, and some of our team members and things. And we are constantly engaged in pressing the full crown rights of Jesus Christ into every aspect of society. Because when Christians take a step back and say, oh, that's an unholy arena, I don't want to take part in that, Satan wins. Satan wins. It's just like Hollywood. Why is Hollywood so bad right now? Because at the first part of the century, Christians said, oh no, we're not going to get involved in that. So who took it over? Well, predominantly the Jews. And the Jews are some of the best pornographers in the world. What?
Oi.
What'd you say?
Oi.
Oi. Lou said oi. No, don't push that one up. So that's why we have Hollywood the way it is. Because Christians, our predecessors as Christian soldiers, said, oh, let's not get involved with that. Now, that doesn't mean that we should have Christian pornography. I mean, that's, you know, I had somebody suggest, well, are you saying we should have Christian pornographers? No. Ben Dot, come on, Pyle, get up there. I don't think Pyle ever had a problem going over the wall. You know, he may have had trouble getting, you know, under stuff, but never over stuff. Oh, my glasses are fogging up. Why is that? I got to take them off. Hang on, folks. I don't need glasses right now anyway. I'm talking. Whew. Getting a little hot in here. Turn that fan on me. I'm the star. Doesn't need to be pointed at Lou. Point the fan at me, not Lou.
Pointed at me.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Mr. Movie Star.
Okay. No, I'm not a movie star. I'm a radio star. Remember, movies are bad. Don't put your fingers in the fan like you did last night, Anthea. There we go. No, turn. Yeah. Oh.
You don't want to be like me. But
yeah. You don't want to be like Lou. We call him Stumpy because he's putting his hands in the fan. But we, when we step back and we ignore our duty to take a step and wait among them and be part of every aspect of specifically, I'm talking about American life, but it's also the world. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's some entities that you should just be smashed, like pornography, drugs, that kind of stuff, obviously. And anything that's debased or perverse or deals with gender bending or corruption of the temple, that kind of stuff. You know, we don't want to do that. But we need to go out and find those things that can be made holy and exploit them for the cause. Exploit's a good word. It's not, you know, it's not always a bad word. Turn them to the cause of liberty, the holy cause of liberty for Christ. And that means everything you do, you've got to do it as if you're doing it for Jesus Christ. That means cleaning your weapon. That means trying to keep in shape. And trust me, I have a big sin there. Oh, Pyle from Full Metal Jacket, yeah. PennDOT. I thought you were meaning Gomer Pyle. I forgot his name was Pyle. I keep getting emails that the drill sergeant from Full Metal Jacket died, and I don't think he did. So I think it's a hoax. So whoever keeps sending me those, stop, because I don't think he's really dead, because I checked press releases and found nothing. Lee, what's his name? I can never pronounce his name. Army is his name, you know. But he's not dead. He's not. He's not dead. He's not. I told everybody that that was my dad for a long time. Now that my dad's come back out of the woodwork, I don't want him to know that I've been telling everybody else that my dad was a movie star. But my dad is an ex-Marine. He served in Vietnam, and he doesn't talk about it. I respect that. He doesn't sit around whining about it. He just did what he had to do and came back. I think he actually volunteered. I don't think he was drafted. I think he and his brother, or well, it wasn't his brother. I call him an uncle, but his best friend ran away from a little town in North Dakota. What was it? I almost said South Park. It's not South Park, North Dakota. It's it'll come to me in a little bit, but it's some park, Park River, North Dakota, and jumped the train and got to the nearest big city and signed up. That's just the way they did it back then. You know, they. R. Lee Armour. Yeah, I can't pronounce his name, PennDOT, so I should have somebody call in who knows how to pronounce his name. I went to all these really great websites, and nothing said he was dead. So, no, it's okay, Anthea. Hang on. How do you say it, Anthea?
R. Lee Emery.
Emery? I don't think it's Emery, is it? I don't know. We'll have to have somebody call in. 559-561-8225.
What kind of name Emery would be a...
559-561-8225. He was a sergeant, and then he was made an honorary gunnery sergeant because of his efforts to promote the Corps. Yeah, that's a great link there, I think. Yeah, it's a great site. I love the audio that plays off of that. I wanted to capture some of that audio and actually play it on the show that PennDOT's put in there. But we've got to focus, folks. We've got to pay attention to everything we're doing. And I don't mean to throw out basics here, and I don't know... There are people out there, and they're part of the solution, but they're slowly becoming part of the problem because of the way they're conducting themselves. And I know if it's happening to our group, it's happening to others. We've got people that think that it's okay to buy illegal weapons and bring them to functions to go, hey, look what I got. Look what I have. You can't do that. You can't do that. You just don't give them an indictment. Make them bend over backwards to fake one to get you. I don't care how cool the gizmo is. I don't care how neat it is or how bad you've always wanted one. Wait till we restructure and we go back to the Second Amendment the way it's supposed to be and there are no gun laws. I mean, trust me, I passed on lots of deals where people have gone, hey, you want one of these? I mean, like, you know, I better not. And especially if you're getting this stuff from people you don't know. If it's somebody you know, okay, I can understand that. But, you know, they're gonna pull a Weaver on you. 6 months from now, they're going to go, hey, yeah, we know that you were in the parking lot of a shopping center and you bought one of these thingamabobs that are now on the thingamabob ban list. And we need to talk to you about that little group you belong to, or you're going away for 15 years and not going to see your mama or your kids. Don't take yourself out of the fight. And number two, you've got to take everything seriously. Don't just think that, oh, this is fun playing Army. This is fun playing, let's make it more specific. You know, I'm a partisan. I'm a resistor. Yay, look at me. I got all the cool clothes. You can't do that. This is deadly serious. This is spiritually serious. This is God's work that we're trying to do here. So when you learn things, put them into your memory bucket in your skull and use them. And I'm talking about the very basics. I've seen some poor examples recently of people that have had one, maybe two classes and claim to have all this knowledge of firearms, and they'll bring out a weapon in the general area of everybody who's in a function that's not weapon-oriented, start pointing it at people to show it off. And I'm telling you, if I see it happen again, I'm going to knock a weapon out of somebody's hands. I'm getting tired of it. I know one of my brothers up here, we're talking earlier, like, next time that happens, let's tackle the guy. If somebody pulls another, you know, weapon out from under their belt and goes, hey, check me out, I'm just going to chop him right across the wrist and say, you'll have this back when everybody's gone home. I'm going to be like a second grade teacher just found a slingshot in her classroom. We can't conduct ourselves in these manners. I know we're not professional soldiers, but that doesn't mean we can't act professional. Everything that we digest has to find a place in our minds and our souls and every little chunk of our body. And it has to take refuge there, and it has to become part of how we conduct ourselves. I mean, what's the biggest problem with the militia in America today? The way the media makes us all look like a bunch of fat guys climbing over walls who don't understand anything and are just doing it because they want to be G.I. Joes. And we feed into that when we act that way. It's one of the reasons why I didn't want that picture up anymore, Lou. I didn't want somebody grabbing that picture and going, look at the militia.
The fat guy.
You know, they use the big fatty lens on it. It's not my fault. I said the lens adds 20 pounds in 30 years. I look better than I did last year, and I'll look better next year than I do now, and I'll be in better shape. That's all that matters to me.
What about the year after that?
The year after that. And they say, well, if I live that long. Yeah, if I live long enough, I'll be the next Jack LaLanne. We'll see what happens. But we've got to conduct ourselves in a godly manner and not be stupid. Like this class that's coming up Saturday. Yeah, who checked out? Something just moved there. This class that's coming up Saturday, you know, our play date in the park, our play date in the playground that we're having up here. A play date in the playground. This Saturday at noon, you know, bring your olive-flavored soda. Mark Kornke does that all the time. He's got all these little codes.
Remember to bring an extra bean sandwich.
Yeah, bring an extra bean sandwich. Bring your food. Bring your sleeping sack. It's by invitation only. I hate to do that. But this first one we're going to do by invitation only because we got to get some of our own people in order. PennDOT says so does food again. Adds 20 pounds in 30 years. We'll start it. What we do is we practice the show before we go on the air, and all these one-liners I steal them from the guys in the chat room.
We'll have to get a drum.
We'll have to get it. We have to bring up a rim shot. Oh, there comes Frank right now. Hey, I thought you were down there listening.
I was.
I saw the car down there. This Saturday is by invitation only, so don't just like show up with your rucksack and go, hi guys. It has to be, you have to be somebody we know. The Sunday stuff is still open to the public, but you have to go to church Sunday. You have to come and eat our food so we can get our mind control drugs into your body. And then we'll do the training on Sunday afternoon. And as of right now, it looks like we're going to have a pretty good group. I got people coming from as far away as Southern California. But you got to take it serious. You know, everything's got to be serious. Show them your new knife, Lou, if you have it.
It's in the other room.
Yeah, go get it and show it to them.
It's going to be hard to stab him with it from over there.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to defend yourself with a knife that's in the other room.
I was just thinking about taking you down, too.
Yeah. Coming here for a throwdown, and you ain't got your blade on you, man.
Yeah, you made it. I got mine on.
Yeah. Folks. It's all attitude. Hey, Men Patriot, welcome to the room. I don't know who left. Somebody left, and then somebody came back. Did we lose a guest? Oh, that means Nicholas is having trouble again listening to the show.
No, we had two guests.
Now we only got one, so that's
what. There's another guest
here. Right here? Oh, maybe not. I don't know what was going on.
I think Borland jumped off and then just...
Okay. Yeah, that's probably people bouncing around. Oh, Men Patriot. Oh, it was you who was guest. Cool. Yeah, Lou's taking his lunch money and buying knives. That's okay. You don't want to eat lunch, you can buy knives.
They used to try to drug me in school for that kind of thinking.
Yeah.
I thought something was wrong with
it. Yeah. I used to save my lunch money to go dancing. That tells you how the world's changed in my worldview.
You can dance?
Yeah. Oh, man. I can cut a rug, as they say, in what the kids are today saying.
You tell them.
Tell them what?
Round table dancing?
Square dancing?
You mean break dancing? What's round table? It sounds like I'm trying to get dollars stuffed in my G-string. What's round table dancing?
Sometimes a whole load of tables around you, and then you're in the middle.
And there's a pole in the middle of
the It's amazing room. The things you tell your kids and then how they kick it out to the public. Isn't that funny? No, when I was a kid, the break dancing thing was big, and I was with a punk crew. We played punk music. We didn't break dance. But we started hearing about all these little places that were having break dancing competitions. So we'd go to them and just try and beat up on the break dancers. We'd just start jumping up and down and kicking them and stuff, and then we'd get the tar beat out of us and thrown into the alley. Even as recently as the 80s, nobody would call the cops. They just beat the crud out of us, throw us in the alley, and we'd be laughing and take it. Now you do something like that, it's a hate crime. What are you, an anti-break dancer? You know, how dare you? You have to get some kind of counseling, and you're going to have to go to jail. Man, everything's about race these days. I was reading the newspaper all day online, off and on, in between putting the antenna up and yelling at the kids. And there's this video of this cop. You guys have seen it. Two teenage black girls, 17, rather portly, jaywalk, and he gives them a ticket, and they just go jungle on them.
Excuse me. Portly, is that a nice way of saying they were fat?
Yeah, they were fat. Yeah, portly. No, they were actually portly, meaning, like porkly. Shipley. I meant to say porkly. And they start shoving the cop. And it's this little white cop guy. And he, one of them grabs him, and just instinctively, which I can understand, I'm no friend of cops here, just punches one right in the face and then puts him on the ground and does all that stuff. And everybody, everything in there is racial. Oh, if this had been a black cop hitting two white women? And I'm like, well, for one, a black cop would probably know how to hit a woman that it would knock her out. The white cop didn't knock her out. She didn't even go down. And I said, two white girls, it wouldn't just be in the middle of the day. They'd have to be drunk off their butt to be acting that unruly towards a guy with a gun. And everybody made it a big racial thing. And I said, no, this is a great example of a cop thug meeting two female thugs that are black. And it's fun. I liked watching it. I could care less who beat who in it. But the funny thing is, it's like 3,000 postings, and it's all, he only did it because they were black. And I was like, no, he did it because he's on a power trip, and he's highly trained, and anytime somebody touches him, he punches them. That's just the way cops are these days. And they did it because they had no sense of decorum. They had no sense of reality. You don't mess with a guy with a gun. I don't care if it's a cop or a home takeover robbery guy. When you're that big, and you're that fat, and you're that female, you just take your ticket and walk away and tell stories about it. It's probably a $25 ticket anyway, but now they're going to jail for... they're going to charge him with everything. Assault on an officer, attempted kidnapping, because they grabbed his arm. And it's the way everything is these days. Everything gets heightened to this extreme, just life or death situation when it's just like, it's a ticket, just take it. You know, I mean, I don't like the cops any more than anybody else, but if you're going to jaywalk and you know jaywalking is illegal, you don't throw down over something as stupid as that. It's not like they're coming to take your kids or they're there to round you up to put you in a death camp. So,
choose your battles wisely.
Yeah, choose your battles wisely, we get from the studio audience.
Somebody just jumped in.
What?
Somebody else just jumped in.
Oh, it's okay, Anthea. Don't worry about it. You don't have to tell me every time something happens in the chat room. That's Lou's job. Your job is to stare at this soundboard.
The chat room on, so.
Yeah, he's probably playing some kind of game.
Pong.
He's playing Pong.
Remember that?
Pong, yeah. In television.
It's addicting.
Yeah, it is addicting. I remember when we first got Pong, it was in television. It had the big knob.
Yeah.
And my friend across the street, Tony, got it because his dad was rich. When I say rich, it means he had a job. And the rest of the dads in the neighborhood didn't. And we played that stupid thing. It was insane. Pong, and then Atari came out in Space Invaders,
yeah.
Tank battles, airplane battles,
Centipede.
And I remember when we got our first Atari, because we were now rich, my dad got a job, driving truck, and one of the first things he did is he bought that Atari thing, and my next younger brother played it for like 48 hours straight, and like went into a coma afterwards, sleep deprivation, he couldn't go to school Monday.
Hit the brown note.
Yeah, yeah, it's just the strobing of the screen and all that. Shut him down. It was like we thought he was having like an aneurysm or something.
An 8-bit seizure.
8-bit, yeah.
Did you burn that
thing? No, I haven't.
Which one? Which one did you need?
The book of.
Oh yeah, he hasn't. I've been keeping him busy all day. You should have said I have something I have to do on the computer. I would have let you do it, Lou. You got to tell me when you have other tasks. You know. Here, stab him with that knife.
Sorry,
just a little.
UK tax.
Yeah, $25 knife tax for not getting the job done. PennDOT writes in Missile Commander. That one I could never do. You know, Missile Commander, where you got to intercept all the incoming missiles.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
If it was left up to me and that was a real situation, Earth would be gone in the blink of an eye. Because I lack that kind of hand and eye core. I can't play modern video games. Lou's got some video games over there that Grandma's bought him because I would never spend that much money on a toy. But what's the one you play? Halo? What?
Halo.
What is it called? What are you playing?
Halo.
Halo. And I'd watch him play it for like 2 minutes, and I got to go throw up. I get motion sickness from the way that the screen moves.
I like this.
So I don't know what's wrong with it. So I can play strategy games and stuff like that, you know, simulations, you know, like that. The only video games I've ever played have been the ones where you have to, like, build a samurai empire and raise taxes and beat the peasants and then invade
Dungeons
your neighbor.
Like
Dungeons and Dragons on a computer. I can do that. Well, we're going to be back after the break. You guys need to call in. I got some news articles I'm going to talk about. We'll talk about Frogger when we come back. PennDOT wants to talk about Frogger.
And
Napoleon Dynamite. Well, we'll be back in a little bit. We'll see what we're going to talk about. Thanks for listening. Pay attention to the commercials. There'll be hidden messages.
Sure he'll come. lot of anti-Americanism in the world. Let's have some straight talk. There's a lot of anti-Americanism. My friends, one of the things I would do the first day I'm president of the United States is close Guantanamo Bay. I would close it, and I would move those prisoners to Fort Leavenworth. It's become a symbol, which is very bad for America. Look, I think this public opinion, they kind of like bin Laden. People like John Dillinger, you know, people like Billy the Kid, people like Jesse James. I mean, there's that kind of a thing out there. But
thank you for listening to the Dutch Jones radio program. And if you get nothing else from our show, there should be two things that you learn. One is, you need to work together with other like-minded people. And number two, you need the basic equipment to keep from becoming a refugee. So whether you're looking for a water filter, tactical gear, surplus gear, or just want to look into some new survival equipment, you need to check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. We carry surplus, and we carry new lines from MilSpec and Voodoo Tactical. And if you don't see it on our website, please send us a message and we'll find it for you. So if you're going to need the gear anyway, why not buy it from us? You'll get it for cheaper than you will from the source, and it'll help out the ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So whether you're new or been in this for a while, check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk.
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points, bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new world order.
A new world order. Attention.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones. Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Dutch, the comfy chair.
We don't have any comfy chairs.
Skinny.
Yeah, the cat's not eating very well. I think he's got like feline something or other. Well, the other two stray cats showed up and started eating his food, and he's not fighting for it. This female cat just slapped him right across the face this morning.
It's a gang of cats.
It's a gang of cats moved into the neighborhood. They're abandoned. Somebody moved out and left their cats. And they're not being fed down there, so they came up here.
Sure.
Yeah, well, no, I want them up here eating gophers and stuff. Our plants have been doing better now that we got cats around. Plus, I'll shoot them when I need to eat one.
Are you on here?
Yeah, we're on the air. This is the Dutch Jones radio program. And it's another little look into what we're doing here behind the scenes. And we're talking about shooting the neighbor's cats to eat them. Keep them from starving our cats out. No, they're all my cats. When they come up here and they eat gophers, I don't mind as long as they're keeping their... And if our cat's not tough enough, so be it. It's kitty Darwinism, you know, the strong cat. This is the second half hour out of 4 half hours, or that's 2 hours if you're following along at home and doing the new math.
Scorecard.
Yeah, in your scorecards, just check off, you know, 1 half hour down. The phone number to call in is 559-561-8225. And if you guys have been listening to Mark Kornke, and I know I have, the last couple of days they've been talking about, do you have that Fox link for that news story about the 80-mile corridor I sent? It's in your email. See if you can find it. We're going to play it. Just because... Mr. Kornke does it doesn't mean we can't, but the federal government has ceded to Mexico an 80-mile-long corridor of federal land in the state of Arizona and basically told law enforcement to stay out. Big signs that say, warning, we're going to find it for you. It's a pretty good description. The way the sheriff describes it is we just gave away I don't know how many thousands of square acres to Mexico. We're just telling, you know, Americans to stay out of there. The Mexican military is operating in there and all this stuff. And
did they give us any beads or blankets?
Yeah, we didn't get any. Yeah, it's like the reverse of what we did to the Indians. We're just giving away land now, and we're getting like two shiny cooking pots and a squaw, you know. I don't know. Did we? I mean,
40 acres and a mule.
Yeah, well, that's a whole nother deal right there. 40 acres and a mule. We're giving away, you know, 80 square miles or whatever it is above Tucson, Tucson. Three counties. It's three counties. And I want to. Have you found it yet?
Still loading.
Still loading. But you found it? You got the link?
No, I can't.
They're probably going to give them San Diego next.
Yeah, and it's sad. I like San Diego. I wish they could skip and just give them Los Angeles. I mean, it's already theirs anyway.
Yeah.
You know, population-wise, cultural-wise, political-wise, you know, Villa Laragosa, the mayor.
ACH, getting that strip right
there. Yeah, kind of like what they did to Germany after World War I. You have the Polish corridor.
Yeah, yeah.
And isolate a chunk. So we could have, like, the Mexican corridor that goes up.
Like the Gaza Strip.
Yeah, and we'll have, like, the occupied territories, and then we'll have San Diego. We'll have to do, like, the Berlin airlift to San Diego. And it'd be a boat lift, though. I mean, really.
We're going
to
need some Scud missiles.
Yeah, we'll need Scuds and Froggers and all kinds of missiles.
Nice bulldozers.
And you found... Okay, is that it there? Oh, the link's right here in the room, Lou.
I can't get it.
Oh, it's on the wrong computer for Lou. Can you mail it to yourself?
It's going to take too long.
Okay, have you found... Where are you now on it?
It's signing in.
Okay, he's signing in. He's got to go to his email account. But thank you, Min Patriot. Lou has successfully broken the audio outputs of just about every computer we own. So, even though I see this on my computer, I can't play it because the headphone jack doesn't work.
You can't play it. And
the computer that you put it on over there, same thing, the chat room computer. And the one that Lou is using for audio production... is not hooked up to anything else.
That's from pulling plugs with your toes?
Yeah, exactly. Yanking the headphone jacks out by walking and wrapping them around your foot. They're saying, nobody will miss Los Angeles. Hope you will know your way around your weapon better than you do your computer. Yeah, I hate computers. I sleep with my weapon. Maybe if I slept with the computer. But yeah, Lou just keeps breaking the headphone jacks. The microphone jack on this one he broke, the one that's in front of me, so we can't use it to transmit anymore. And yes, I am doing this to scold you publicly. I can't flog you in public anymore, so I might as well verbally embarrass you so you'll pay attention to where your feet are. I mean, just stand up and look on the floor under his feet. Look at the way the wires are.
Yeah.
I mean, he sets up like an obstacle booby trap.
Like a big ball of spaghetti.
Yeah, yeah. And, yeah, you set them up all the time. You could just put them up on the table instead of having them hanging all over the floor.
It's like one of them wild animal snares.
Yeah, it's from one of the classes we taught in wild animal snaring. But anyway, let me know when you find it.
I'm still trying to load it up.
Why is your computer so slow? That's supposed to be the best computer in the house.
The connection keeps dropping.
Huh. That's good. As long as we don't get knocked off the air.
Wiring.
We also haven't been lagging. Nobody's been complaining about lagging, so I guess we're doing pretty good on that. I wouldn't mind giving up. The problem is they got nothing to trade, so it'd just be a giveaway. There's nothing in Mexico I want. You know, I still think we should have invaded it long ago. When we had the Mexican-American War, I don't know why we stopped. Why did we just do the, whatever the Hidalgo land grants were or whatever it was? We should have just taken the whole stinking nation. They're already basically all on welfare. Did you find it?
Does that mean that they're going to pay for their food and medical in that area?
Okay, load it up. It's going to play a commercial. There's nothing we can do about it. If he takes the audio down, or you could take the audio down while it plays. It's time to take America back. Yeah, it's kind of sad. We should play that song on the next break. But if our politicians, and this was something that was done without anybody even knowing about it, just suddenly these signs popped up that said, attention, do not enter this area. It is dangerous for American citizens. It is occupied by criminal elements and rogue military units of Mexico. And it was funny. I had heard it earlier in the morning, and my buddy here heard it like late at night. He calls me. Did you hear about this? I'm like, yeah, we heard about it. I can't believe it. He was packing his motorcycle up, getting ready to go to the border. And I'm like, well, let's wait. It's an Arizona thing. And I'm surprised. You know, there are a couple really good militias in Arizona. There, of course, is a lot of good Minutemen along the border. And I can't imagine that if it's a no man's land, it's like, you know, Tora Bora. Over in the Mideast. All bets are off, and it's just, you know, get up on a hill with a 50,
yeah,
some good optics, and some bug-out vehicles, and some pre-run routes, and just start dropping these guys. Yeah, that's right. I am condoning violence because obviously this is an area where the rule of law doesn't apply because the federal government gave it away.
He's stringing out claymores.
And yeah, putting up and even like putting up landmine signs and pitfalls and all the good stuff you're not supposed to do in America because it's not America anymore. Punji stick pits, those great big. You know, I don't know if you can make a cactus into a Malaysian swing, but that would be good. 338 Lapua or 416. Yeah, 2 mile shots. Just the guy doesn't even hear anything. There's just a pink mist of the lead element. And they'd go running back to Mexico. They wouldn't know what to do. They'd empty a magazine of AK-47 into the nearest bush and just run. Now some of them are Zetas. Now some of them are trained by our U.S. Rangers and they went rogue. Well, I'm like, who thought up that plan? Let's get Mexican military personnel, train them in guerrilla and counter-guerrilla tactics. On the United States dime, and then send them back to Mexico. And as soon as they got off the bus or the mule wagon, they jumped right over to the nearest drug lord and said, "Look, I got all this training. Can you pay me more than $10 a month?" Sure, why not?
The video won't load.
The video won't load. Now that's a load, Lou.
It's just a black.
It's just a load, Lou. Are you gonna cry?
Yes.
So, well, anyway, Lou can't get it to load. The it's in there. You guys can watch it at your leisure. Save the link that Min Patriot put in there. We're real glad he did that. I bet mine will load, and I'll just hold the microphone up. But I don't have audio on this computer. Let's see what happens. I'll go back up. I'll scroll up and see if I can do this in, like, 20 seconds and what took you, like, 2 hours to try and do over there. All right, well, we're already done with the show, Lou. Thanks for loading that, and we'll talk to you tomorrow, folks. It took 2 hours for Lou to load a video because what have you been doing with that computer? You've been watching the midget wrestling again on there?
No.
Because it just clusters that thing up and it doesn't want to...
I cleaned it out today.
Oh, you cleaned it out today and it's still working that slow.
Well, that's because the connection kept dropping.
The
so
connection?
I had to refresh.
Oh, that's funny.
And then everything else is running. So.
And everything else is running. What else is running on there?
On the network.
Oh, yeah. We got like 400 people doing business programming over our network, so... Well, that's okay. I put mine up, and it doesn't even show the video. It just shows... I'll just read it to you guys, since we don't have the video. About 3,500 acres of southern Arizona along the Mexican border is closed to U.S. citizens due to increased violence in the region. The closed-off area stretches 80 miles along the border and includes part of the Buenos Aires National Wildlife Refuge. It was closed in October of 2006 due to human safety concerns, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service said Wednesday. Boy, my computer just jumped. What are you doing, Lou?
I didn't do anything.
Okay, now mine's loading now. Mine's loading fine. The refuge had been adversely affected by the increase of drug smugglers, illegal activity, and... Let's see here. Is it going to play? I'm going to play it over here and just let you guys hear it over the mic. Hang on, guys. And now mine's not working. So Lou, stop looking at my computer. You're making it not work. But this is 2006 that they did it. And so since 2006, they've given this land back to Mexico for all. See you later. Practical purposes. Signs have been posted warning Americans not to cross into the closed-off territory south of Interstate 8. And Arizona needs more resources to help scale back the violence caused by these drug cartels. We need a... Here we go. Now it's playing the commercial. So yours isn't playing at all?
It's just a black screen.
I wonder why. And mine's all jumpy. So, yeah. Here we are, the height of technology, and we can't even show you this news report, so I'm just going to keep reading from the article. It makes more sense anyway. It won't even let me stop the commercial. You guys hear that? Let me just... here we go. I'm going to mute it. And then I'll let it play. And then, okay. Here we go. Okay, Pinal County Sheriff Paul Babeau, it's B-A-B-E-U, told Fox News that violence against law enforcement officers and U.S. citizens has increased in the past 4 months, further underscoring the need to keep the 80 miles of borderland off limits to Americans. The refuge has been adversely affected by the increase in drug smugglers, illegal activity, and surveillance, which made it dangerous for Americans to visit. The situation in this zone has reached a point where continued public use of the area is not prudent, says refuge manager Mitch Ellis. Makes you wonder what else they're doing in there. What? Okay, they never let a crisis go unexploited, right? So all this stuff above ground is going on. I wonder what the New World Order is doing below ground. Call me an alarmist, but they don't want eyes in there, right? Is it because we're helping them smuggle all that heroin in from Afghanistan? Is that why? It is literally out of control, said Babo. It sounds like a Disney character, Babu. We stood with Senator McCain, there's your problem there, and literally demanded support for 3,000 soldiers to be deployed to Arizona to get this under control and finally secure our border with Mexico. U.S. Fish and Wildlife officials have warned visitors in Arizona to beware of heavily armed drug smugglers and human traffickers. We need support from the federal government. It's their job to secure the border, and they haven't done it, said the sheriff, Babu. In fact, President Obama suspended the construction of the fence, and it's simply outrageous. Yeah, it is. It is simply outrageous. And there's absolutely nothing you can do about it because they're going to do what they want to do. Let's see if I can get this to go back to... Let's see if I can make this work for you guys so you can hear it. That's getting a major strip of the south. No, it's not going to work. Again, something we should have done in rehearsal, but I didn't know I was going to talk about it because I wasn't sure...
Heavily armed drug smugglers, what?
Heavily armed drug smugglers, what? Let me stop this thing. But there you go. I mean, you heard me read it. You can go watch it for yourself. And there it is. There it is. We're already giving chunks of land away. I mean, we've been doing it de facto by giving up our neighborhood street by street. Even our street gangs are afraid of these people. All the black inner city youths in their little organized clubs that go back as far as the 50s and everything in Los Angeles have been pretty much wiped out by the Central American and Mexican gangs. All the neighborhoods, there's a genocide going on, and it ain't whitey doing it. It's brown on black crime. And LAPD is doing everything they can do to cover it up. Everything that they can do to cover it up. I got to turn down my mic a little bit. I'm sorry if I was over driving that. And meanwhile, good men stand by and do nothing. Everybody calls their senators. Everybody calls their congressmen. Please, Mr. Congressman, please do this for us and we'll vote for you again. We'll never ask for anything ever, ever again until something else happens. It's over. The government's out of money. Pretty soon we're going to start, they're laying off law enforcement here in the Central Valley. I think they're going to let like 24 deputies go in Kings County. Things are bad enough now in Fresno County. Can you imagine what it's going to be like when they let off, even more? More and more and more. And the cops are going to get more and more desperate, and they're going to start shooting people. They're not going to mess around. They're going to want to do paperwork. They're just going to start whacking people. It's going to make what the movies portray the Old West look like nothing. It's going to be like the Earp brothers are in town, and everybody's the bad guy.
The what brothers?
The Earp brothers. You know who Wyatt Earp is, don't you, Lou? That's pathetic.
Who's that?
What 14-year-old in America doesn't know who Wyatt Earp is? Bad man gone law, cleans up tombstone, they kill his brother, wound a bunch of them, try to kill their women, he goes nuts. You know, Kurt Russell. Or Kevin Costner, depending on which movie you like. Mm-hmm. Man. Yeah, they're going to lay off correctional officers. They're going to lay off the jail attendants. I don't know what you call somebody who works in a jail. Are they correction officers, too? Probably just deputies. The jails are full. They're doing all these gang roundups here in Fresno, and they're out the same day because unless they're extremely bad. I mean, if they set a baby on fire and ate it, they might hold them for 48 hours or something. But the drive-by shooters, the people wanted on warrants, stepping out on their parole officers. Okay, they just said, what happened to the sound, Lou?
It's broadcasting.
Yeah, we're broadcasting. We haven't dropped. I don't know what's going on with the sound. So hopefully it's just Chuck 2. That's not cool. I mean, kind of weird there. Well, we're coming up on the break here in about 9 minutes, and we're going to do a Liberty Tree Radio simulcast. And we'll be talking about more current events. I've got some new stuff that I'm going to read you. But the first hour, I just wanted to keep it kind of, hey, let's just talk. Let's just be fine. I need a sound check, guys. If you guys can hear in the chat room, let me know. Okay, Olima hears us. It's Chuck. I think Chuck 2 is Oklahoma Chuck. I think they're on to him, man, because he has trouble with his phone, everything. They're just, if that's Chuck from Oklahoma, yeah, they're probably scanning his house right now, looking for how much money he has stashed away there, checking how many weapons he has, how much tags are in his ammo. We go through times like that. You guys know that, where just nothing works. Phones don't work. You guys hear it on here, that digital dut. We get every cell phone out of the room. And that's it. I don't know where Lost Soul is. Where's Lost Soul? Maybe he got bumped down in the chat line here. Let me scroll down. Yeah. Oh, there he is. He's down below the line. He's there. Lost Soul is not Nick. No. Lost Soul is a person from the valley that listens. He's been to the church, and we know who he is. But I think that the digital chatter you hear is the drone flying over and scanning us. Luke can tell when it's there because the metal plate in his head vibrates at a certain frequency when there's a microwave beam hitting him.
Hey.
Whenever I use the microwave in the house, he wets his pants and runs out into the field screaming, "Stop it!"
Nuh-uh.
So, well, he didn't really know he had a metal plate in his head. I shouldn't have said that in front of him. He can't see the big massive scar on the back of his head, so he doesn't know what that means. What's going on there? But, you ever get just suddenly you get hit in the afternoon and you go, "Snappy time?" I just got that. I got that nappy time feeling. We don't have any... Yeah, we're going to have to do something here during this next break.
Play a long song.
Yeah, play a long song. Play Anagata Devita by Iron Butterfly so I can take a nap. It's like 8.5 minutes long. That's what I used to use when I was in radio as a teenager, in AM radio. And,
I got a 7-minute song.
KFKA in Greeley, Colorado, AM 1310. I'd put on Anagata Devita when I had to use the restroom for the number twosie. I knew I was going to be in there a while. So, and I'm sure there are longer songs, but that was just the one in the rack that was right there.
One of Johnny Cash's songs is like 15 minutes.
What Johnny Cash song is 15 minutes? Do you know the name of it? That's an interesting trivia.
Story about that Henry guy, and he could build a...
John Henry?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that was 15 minutes long.
15 minutes.
That's good to know. That's good to know. Well, when we come back, we're going to do a little bit more current events. I'm going to read to you bedtime stories from the Peter Hammond book, A Christian at War. And I encourage you guys to go to the church's website. Do we have that sermon up on the website?
What one?
The Peter Hammond when he came? Yeah. Can they find it by looking for Peter Hammond? Or does it have a date?
No, it'll have the date, then it'll say Peter Hammond.
Yeah, look for Peter Hammond when you go to the church's website. It's always a good thing to listen to what he said when he came here. And again, you know, as we get closer, I'll keep pushing the conference where he's going to speak at, especially when we're on Liberty Tree Radio, because we want to bring in as many people from different states. If we can get one or two people from, you know, across the country in each region, and they can disseminate the information that we're putting out here about Christian militias, because so many people, they're good, godly patriots, but they don't combine the two. They keep them separate. They have a shelf for their Christianity, and they have a shelf for their resistance to tyranny and their militia attitude. And they go hand in hand, and that's what we're going to talk about. And I may share some... I'm still getting a lot of hate mail from last week talking about the flotilla massacre. People cannot stand it that I am going after Israel on this. They keep saying that I'm defending the Islamists, you know, the jihadists, and I'm not. I'm just attacking Israel, and you guys have got to get that through your head. I'm not saying that I want Palestinians to move over to Iowa and live in peace and harmony. No, I know they don't deserve a homeland either. Those of you that are listening, I don't think it's anybody in here. Those of you that are listening to the repeats and sending me these emails, it's a waste of time. I'm not changing my mind. Israel doesn't belong as a state. They had the largest protest in the history of Israel today because the Hasidic Orthodox Jews that are of European descent, the Ashkenazi Jews, or if I'm probably pronouncing it wrong, are angry because the federal government, the state government in Israel, told them they have to allow Arab and non-European Jews into their private schools. Their what's the word? The segregation issue. they're integrating the schools so that the European Jews, you know, the ones that have the claim of the Holocaust, they don't want anything to do with Asian or Arab Jews. So it was weird to see the picture that was up on the AP of like 10,000, 15,000 people in different areas of the state with the little fakakta hats and the locks and the beards, like violently protesting, like knocking over things, climbing light poles and screaming and yelling, because they're always shown in America as just these nice little old men, and you know, and these were young men too. You know, I don't know how long it takes to grow those locks, or maybe they come with the hat. When you get the hat, the locks are attached, you know, just like those headbanger trucker hats you can buy. But they were violently opposed to integration of new Jews with the old Jews. And that nation is just a paradox, isn't it, Israel? I mean, it's going to eat itself from the inside. It's just like our nation. I shouldn't say that, but a lot of parallels there. I don't think any outside force will destroy Israel because they're too well protected by us. Do you know how much Israel gets in aid? Just guess. How much does Israel get in aid per day from the United States of your tax dollars, Lou? You don't pay taxes.
A lot.
How much is a lot, Lou? How much per day? Would you believe $8 million a day in aid goes to Israel from the United States?
Yes.
$8 million a day. And then somebody said, well, they're using it to buy American armaments, so we get it back. I'm like, it's still a net loss because we also paid to build the armaments. So that's like saying, you know, you go buy your own lawnmower from yourself every summer over and over again. It just doesn't make sense. Or you give your neighbor, you know, $50, and he buys your lawnmower from you for $50, and you're like, oh, wait a minute, I just made $50. No, you can't. No matter how much you lie to yourself, it's going to do it. $20 billion a year, PennDOT says, but it breaks down to about $8 million a day. Jew-on-Jew violence, I like it. Yeah, and I tell you what, these Orthodox Jews, they're pretty violent. They're pretty amazing. Anthea's doing her hair while she should be doing the soundboard. Okay. You're such a little girl.
Hey.
You were supposed to be a tomboy.
I am.
I know, but you're like... Of course, Lou's over there painting his nails.
Hey.
So...
I'm not.
I was putting my hair behind my ear so it wouldn't get in my face.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying
that. I just got to do that with my
hair. So when we come back from the break, what we're going to do is we'll be on Liberty Tree Radio. And we will be talking about some current events. So we'll be right back on the Dutch Jones Radio Show. Don't go anywhere. Be prepared to call in.
It's become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading. There's an unspoken fear, we're on our way down. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C., before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom and our children's, that's wrong.
And now on Broadcasting House, the Donald Rumsfeld Soundbite of the Week.
If I said yes, that would then suggest that that might be the only place where it might be done, which would not be accurate, necessarily accurate. It would, might also not be inaccurate, but I'm disinclined to mislead anyone.
That was the Donald Rumsfeld Soundbite of the Week.
There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
For nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel.
Put out all points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new
attention.
World
order. A new world order. Attention.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
that.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
That's too bad. Is that Napoleon?
Yes.
Great. This is the Dutch Jones radio program coming to you live from Central California behind enemy lines, nestled gently at the front gates of Sequoia National Park in the Sierra Nevadas. I hate saying Sierra Nevada Mountains because it's like redundant. Doesn't Sierra mean mountains in Spanish? So it's like saying Mountain Nevada Mountains. And a little town of Cahuilla, from the church at Cahuilla here. And we share with you our militant Christian worldview, or Christian militant worldview. It should be Christian first. Historical perspectives, comments on current events, and just sometimes just some wacky dissertations on things that annoy me. I am, for now, Dutch Jones. Dutch Jones is kind of like the Dread Pirate Roberts. There is no real Dutch Jones. There will be other Dutch Jones that sound different. Because Dutch Jones does not exist. He is the embodiment of the cause here, the holy cause of liberty. And for now, it is my turn to sit in this seat. And one day, if you're a good little patriot, I may tap you on the shoulder as it's time for me to retire and disappear. And you can take over the seat. But for now, I'm doing it until God calls me to another mission. And for those of you that don't get the Dread Pirate Roberts reference, you need to watch The Princess Bride. Made by a communist, but still a good movie. And it's got... I liked it. And I was dragged kicking and screaming to it by an ex-wife. And then it's got swordplay, it's got espionage, it's got everything in it. And it's a tolerable movie. No, Lou will not be the next Dutch Jones. It has to be somebody completely new. Lou,
that'd be too predictable.
Yeah, it would be too predictable. It's got to be somebody completely at random that we... Shanghai from the movement and just shove him in front of the... No, it can't be anybody that's related to the current Dutch Jones. There's a very strict guidelines here to what we can do. What is this? People are posting stuff in the chat room. Now, you can be listening to this on a multiple of outlets. I currently monitor the U-Broadcast version of our show and the chat room there. And you can get to that simply by going to U-Broadcast and typing in Dutch Jones Radio Program, and you will find it. And if you're there, I please ask that you scroll down below the player in the chat room and rate us as you see fit. And leave a comment there for us. And you can also go to dutchjones.tk. That's J-O-E-N-S, dutchjones.tk. And you can go there to the guest book. Currently, everybody's just been basically slamming First Amendment Radio. But if you have something else you want to put, there's a good place to put it. You'll notice a chip in there. That's your way, if you appreciate this show and the efforts we put forth, to send us a few FRNs now and again. Pretty much everything we raise on there now just goes to pay for bandwidth, the U-Broadcast fee to kick some money over to help out Liberty Tree Radio for giving us this time slot. It's something that we have to do. It's only the right thing to do. People's efforts are worthy of a wage. And Ed does a lot of work over there, as they all do. And you wouldn't expect to be doing things for free, so why should anybody else? at least help them break even. I know if it's anything like over here, and I'm sure it's even more so, we dump a lot of our own money into it, buying cables and microphones and all those kinds of things. Just like today, I'm going to be shelling out money just because I need new coax. We put up a new antenna. Everything that we had just went bad. And it destroyed some equipment, but praise the Lord, it's only going to be a small monetary output to get them fixed, and we'll be back up to 400 watts. Right now we're only at about 40 watts, but we know people are listening on our FM side. We know people are listening mostly to the Intelligence Report. That's probably our biggest listener group, because if something goes wrong with the download or the, you know, we forget to do it, we hear about it. Everybody's like, what happened? Where's? And then we get it on. And fortunately, because we're a non-commercial station, as most Patriot broadcasters are, we can throw it on whenever we do, whenever we get it up, and people will listen until... And we run all 4 hours, for, you know, if there's 4 hours, from 5 to 9, and people love it. We could probably get away with running it 24 hours a day, but there are those folks that like to hear the Christian music, too. So we do that. If you're interested in finding out more about the church at Kaweah, there's a link on the DutchJones.tk site. I encourage you to take a look at that and listen to some of the sermons from Pastor Warren Mark Campbell, our pastor. We've also got one up there from, what's the word I'm looking for, Peter Hammond, who we're going to talk a little bit here in this first hour, first half hour. I've got to remember, I'm in my last half hour, I'm in my third half hour, last hour. I've got to remember that. And Peter Hammond, for those of you that don't know, is our missionary, and he is with... Lou, what's the name of the ministry?
Frontline Fellowship.
Frontline Fellowship in South Africa. He is a British citizen of, you know, grew up in Rhodesia in South Africa, was in the Rhodesian military. He's fought in the Congo. He's fought all over the place. A well-seasoned minister, pastor, who has a Bible in one hand and an AK-47 in the other. And we support him and the people of his cause. And he protects Christians in the African region. He trains militias to fight the Muslims and the Chinese, the communists and the Marxists and the Islamists. He's had several churches blown out from under him. He's just, he walks the walk and talks the talk. You know, a lot of people want to be Rambo. This guy really is. He's like a warrior priest of the First Order. And no, he's not a Jesuit, so all you... people that are into that don't go, it sounds like he's a Catholic. No, he's a, what actually is he? Is he a
Calvinist?
He's a Calvinist, yeah. He's like a 5-point Calvinist.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we differ on some things like that. It's cool, you know. We can have differences in non-essential doctrines, and we support him. And he's been imprisoned over there. There's currently a fatwa. It's a word that's almost, it's fun to say as it is to spell, fatwa. If I ever get another dog, I'm going to name him Fatwa.
F-A-W-T-O.
Yeah, I don't know how you spell it. F-A-T-W-A-H, I think.
F-A-W-T-O.
No, it's not Fatwa. Fatwa. Fatwa.
I thought it'd be Daisy.
No. Oh, Stacy's home, so just be ready. She'll probably come in here and say, throw out some non sequitur. I want to say hi to everybody. But so we're going to be talking a little bit about Peter Hammond's book, The Christian at War. It's more like a field guide. It's for those of you that are engaged in the holy cause of liberty and understand that all freedom and liberty comes from the Lord Jesus Christ only, not from the Constitution, not from men, not from your own personal efforts. It comes from Jesus Christ. And people who tell you, hey, you can't be a Christian and be a warrior. Hello, Stacy. Did you wear that shirt to work today?
Isn't
that
a, yes, I did.
You wear a Team Railtree shirt to work? They let you wear that? Don't they know that's about killing Bambi? That's an archery shirt, isn't it?
Don't worry. Remember the
wow.
next scene after.
Cool. Anybody there. Ask you about, you know?
No.
Wow. Good. Maybe it's not as bad as I thought working for the man. And a lot of things that are in this book, I use almost on a daily basis. Well, not daily, but when I'm out among the sheeple, you know, and as I look for sheepdogs, I bring stuff up. I try and do what I can to reach out. And I'm just going to read a little bit from his book. This is A Christian at War by Peter Hammond. I don't know, what are we selling these for? $5 at the church site? Go to the church website And
Peter Hammond.
Yeah, but we're selling them here too. Okay, but they're at the church website, and you can get them from the church bookstore. And it says, I am a Christian who spent the last 12 years working as a missionary in the war zones of southern Africa. I have ministered to soldiers, guerrillas, and terrorists on all sides of the wars in Angola, southwest Africa, Namibia, Zambia, Zimbabwe, Mozambique, and South Africa. I have witnessed the persecution of the church by Marxist regimes, atrocities by terrorists, and I have seen the results of war counseling both the victims and the combatants. As a theological student, I tackled the controversial subject of war and the Christian from both sides. I have been both a convinced pacifist and an active soldier. I have also sought, as a missionary, to apply the teachings of the Bible to the realities around me. I have walked amongst the unburied corpses of the killing fields of Mozambique, and I have cradled in my hands the dead and the dying. I've walked through devastating towns in Angola where not a living being remained, only wrecked houses, decomposing corpses, and revolutionary slogans. As a missionary, I've ridden through an ambush on my motorbike, preached under mortar fire, witnessed at ambush sites, shown Christian films to terrorists, been arrested and imprisoned, and led handcuffed and blindfolded to the streets of Livingston and Lusaka, escorted to prison in a Maputo in a Soviet Mi-8 HIP, I guess a HIP helicopter, and come under fire on many occasions. Most of those, as a Bible-reading, Bible-believing Christian, I have spent days, nights, weeks, months, and years agonizing, praying, and studying over this subject of war and the Christian. What is the Christian's response to war? Should a Christian be involved in the active military defense of his country? Is it ever permissible to take the life of another? Is pacifism the answer to violence? There was a time in warfare when the men at arms fought the opposition army on a prearranged battlefield. Conflicts between nations were settled by soldiers on the fields of battle, and civilians, especially women and children, were kept safely out of the firing line. For centuries, a code of honor precluded the endangering of innocent lives. Soldiers fought openly, in uniform, against armed and uniformed foes. Noncombatants were respected. Women and children were protected. At times, conflicts were limited to two opposing champions, such as David and Goliath, deciding the fate of their nations in honorable hand-to-hand combat. Their respective armies were bound to respect the outcome of such duels. In the Middle Ages, in Europe, such practices became commonplace, with knights fighting for their cause and country according to a set code of conduct. In modern times, however, warfare has deteriorated dramatically. More and more civilians have been caught in the crossfire as mobile total warfare has devastated whole towns and villages. I just wanted to read you part of his introduction there to give you an idea where this is coming from, because since 1865 and maybe a few... What's wrong?
My feet
are killed. Well, sit down. Relax.
I need to change my clothes.
Oh, change your clothes and go lay down. Don't suffer. You don't have to bring home the bacon and fry it up in the pan anymore. I was only kidding.
What are you doing with that spaghetti?
She's finishing it.
She don't like it.
Oh, you don't like it? Okay. Let's continue with the show. Sorry, folks, but that happens when you're doing a show in your living room / kitchen / rumpus room / entertainment room. Living in a one-room apartment does that. But I wanted to give you an idea where he was coming from, so that when I talk about the things I do... He is one of the men whose shoulders I stand on. I mean, even though he's alive today, I still take his teachings very seriously. And I still apply them to my arguments, my motivations, to myself. Some days it's just hard to continue in the fight. We struggle here on our facility when you just look at our small numbers and the devastating threats that are out there. But when I see men like this that have faced death over and over again, who've been in a prison cell with guns to their head, told they would never see the light of day again, and they continue to face it with courage. Not courage from themselves, but courage in our Lord Jesus Christ. And unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on God's plan, I guess, when I was in life and death situations, being a member of the U.S. military... I didn't have Jesus Christ to back up on. So I just kind of grit my teeth and did it, and mostly out of not wanting to look like a coward to my brothers in arms, which I'm sure a lot of men use that as their motivation. But then you see something different in warriors like Peter Hammond and others that, you know, that we could, throughout history, we could talk about. Their courage comes from a deeper well. Their courage comes from a higher place. And as Christian patriots, that's where I find my motivation when things look bleak. We had our meeting the other day, and we're deciding, what are we going to do when all these people show up here when the crunch hits, to use the term from patriots, the crunch? How are we going to organize, feed, train, and supply these people? Because, you know, they're all required to get their own training where they are. That's the way the system works here, because a lot of these people are from across the country that support our cause. And we know most of them won't be able to make it here. But regionally, we tell people, you need to go to front site. You need to go to gun site. We're already doing advanced classes here, and we only do intro classes once a year, and you missed it. But if you want to be part of our show that we're doing here, you need to go out and be diligent and show us that you're serious. We had a guy last night, new guy that's been coming. He can only come to church once a month, but he comes to Wednesday night Bible study every Wednesday, because he goes to another church that he supports, his home church, and there's nothing wrong with that. But he's like-minded. And he said, well, I want to take your training with you guys, you know, live fire training that we do. And we just said, look, you've got to do some time at Frontside or DFT, there's links on our site to DFT. I recommend DFT if you're in the California or West Coast region, more so than Frontside, just because of the focused training that you're going to get. Doesn't mean I'm down on Frontside. Don't start sending me letters and cards saying, oh, I love Frontside. How could you do that? So as we do everything that we do here, we focus in it with a Christian mindset. And some people don't understand that. They go, oh, you're supposed to be a pacifist. A lot of pacifists claim that non-resistance and pacifist inactivity will break the cycle of violence. I ask you to show me one moment in history where passive resistance has won anything. People always go, well, Gandhi won. Go to India today and tell me how great it is there. Yeah, they won peace for the whole nation of India. The only thing that happened is that they won the media war, yes, even back then, and the British got tired of seeing their soldiers mowing down row after row of bedsheet-clad Hindus, or whatever they are in India. If I got that wrong, keep your cards and letters on that one. Pacifists always say that refusal to defend oneself will prevent war, and that nonviolence will result in peace. However, it is important to distinguish between the various motivations which lead people to adopt these views. I found a quote from Gandhi saying something like, you know, if we'd have had machine guns, it would have been different. We had no guns, so we had to go the passive route. I want to verify that. I'm going to find that quote, drive it home, but I want to make sure it's a legitimate quote before I give you my Dutch Jones 100% validation stamp on it. You know, some pacifists are consistent pacifists. They claim that they would never involve themselves in either a national defense or self-defense. These are the women that would say, I don't care if I'm being raped. I wouldn't resist because I couldn't live with myself. I'd rather die than take a life. They would generally claim a spiritual motivation for refusing to protect even their family members. I've told you the stories about the Russian churches up here where they think that Romans 13 is the law, and you don't resist them, the government, even if they come to take your young women and your young men to death camps. You don't resist them. It's God's will kind of thing. But in reality, most pacifists are what are known as selective pacifists. They refuse to involve themselves in the national defense. Now, Western democracies, this is pretty common, but being willing to fight in certain other circumstances. You see these pacifists in the streets during riots. You know, they're pacifists, they're protesting the war, but they're throwing Molotov cocktails at the police's, you know, armored vehicles and stuff, right? So they're selective pacifists. There is a big difference. I always liked it when I'm arguing with people like that, like at a rally or when I was with the Minutemen. I go, oh, you're a pacifist. Okay, have you ever broken windows? Have you ever done this? What about the World Trade Organization? Did you protest? Oh, yeah, we were there. Did you ever thump any cops? Yeah, we did that. Okay, so you're not a consistent pacifist. They don't like that.
Oh, Lord, bless this thy hand grenade.
No.
But with it thou mayst not the holy hand grenade. Enemies to tiny bits in thy mercy.
Yeah, see, that's different. That's holy war. We're talking pacifism here. I see where you were going with that one, Lou. Doesn't really apply, though.
Yes,
but
does.
Nice try. Yeah, okay. We'll let the listeners decide. These selective pacifists are often politically motivated, although they may use some religious arguments to justify their political stance. There, it does pertain there, Lou. Many of these politically motivated selective pacifists actually support violent revolutionary movements. Most are motivated by selfish desires to avoid discomfort, discipline, danger, or being separated from their girlfriend, mother, or home comforts. That's what motivates them. That's what they fight for. They fight for their own narrow little chunk of the world, and they try to assign to it some higher meaning. Stacy's really hurting. Somebody's going to get a foot rub after the show, I promise. I'll get Anthea and Lou to each grab a foot and rub.
Hey, no.
Lou with his fingernails, you know. Look at those claws.
How about you rub?
Oh, no, I have to save these hands for my hand modeling career. I can't rub anybody's feet. I might damage them.
Then where's all your hand models?
What?
Where's okay. all your money at?
Yeah.
You get your hand
I'm saving models. It for something important.
Yeah.
Back to the Christian pacifist discussion. Pacifism is unbiblical. I've told you that 1,000 times, and it's not because I say so, it's because it's a fact.
Because God says so.
God says so. Although being able to appeal to superficial arguments of conscience and quote the odd verse out of context, the whole spirit and thrust of pacifism is, at its root and at its base, and nobody can argue this, anti-Christian. It's anti-God. It's ungodly. Pacifists may be sincere, but they are sincerely wrong as well. Now, a Christian, by definition, must be active, or his or her, you know, there's no fruit of their salvation. They need to have their sleeves rolled up. They need to be willing to get their hands dirty, and they need to be willing to stand to protect the innocent, defending the defenseless, and saving lives from unprovoked aggression. Christian love is not mere words and sentiments. True love shows itself in action. I direct you to 1 John 3:18. And normally I would read from here, but I don't have my... Can you find 1 John 3:18 in there for me? I want to make sure I do the King James Version. I know there are people that call the show that hate the King James Bible. It's our Bible. It's what we use.
How dare you?
Yeah, and it's what I use. So that's 1 John 3:18. I should have Lou read it. This would be nice. I have a little back and forth.
They don't like the Leviticus.
Yeah, people don't want Leviticus. No, that's Colorado. Okay. Give it to me. You don't want to read it, Lou?
No.
Okay, no, 1 John 3:18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So, you can't sit on your hands as a Christian. The Lord's telling us right there, you don't just talk about it, you love in deed. Hath no greater love than any man than to lay down his life for his brother or for another. You know, I mean, secular people use that all the time. How many times do they love to use that, like at cop funerals or firefighter funerals? If all the people with a conscience refuse to fight, then it will leave the battlefields in the hands of the men without a conscience. Think about that. This is a quote from Peter Hammond. If all the people with a conscience refuse to fight, then it will leave the battlefields in the hands of the men without conscience. If we don't have, like what I talked about earlier, we are pressing the full crown rights of Jesus Christ into every aspect of life on this planet, into Christendom, into what God created. He owns this planet. And as his representatives, that means even in warfare, we must be there. If we didn't have Christian leaders in warfare truly would be hell. And it's like the argument I'm having with a lot of people right now in the email that are angry because I'm coming down against Israel in this attack on the flotilla. They're saying, but they're fighting Muslims, and Muslims are our enemy. It doesn't matter. There is a biblical doctrine to warfare, and Israel is violating it. And I could do a whole show on what Israel violates in the Bible, but we'll leave it at that. We need to have Christian representatives in warfare. We need to have Stonewall Jacksons and General Lees. And I would even argue General Patton. He was a little New Agey, you know, reincarnation and all that stuff. They didn't have New Age movement when he was around. But who did he turn to when he needed that Hail Mary pass? No pun intended for you anti-Jesuits out there. He went to his chaplain and said, write a prayer. Write a prayer for this battle. Specifically to stop the weather, so that it would favor the advancement of his army. And it worked. We need godly men in uniform. If this nation is going to be saved, we need godly men in uniform. Because we as militias are not going to, and I know people get mad when I say this, I don't mean it as in a global sense, but it's going to be very hard for militias, especially like ours, to stand toe-to-toe with any regular trained military units. Now we can harass and you know, play the colonial thing, hide behind trees, and they'll call us cowards, but we'll live to fight another day while they're being carried off the field with a bullet hole in their face. We need godly men in uniform so units will come to our side and let them fight it. Let tank battalion against tank battalion fight. But we also need godly men in the militias. I've run into a lot of militias in California, and I have to tell you about 90% of them don't even have a chaplain. They don't even think about it. And they may be very well at the manual count of arms, field craft, communications and all that. But it's like the Bible says, if God does not build a house, it's done in vain. If our foundation is not Jesus Christ, the big general in the sky, we're doomed to lose. Sure, men can win battles on their own merits. I'm not going to deny that. It fits into God's plan. The Lord will use anybody. But if we are to have true liberty and a true victory in this war of federal aggression that we're fighting today, which I think is just an extension of the first war of federal aggression, there was just a temporary ceasefire of a few decades, you know, several decades, a century or so. We can't count on our own merits alone. We just lack the moral fiber. We lack the moral high ground and the mandate. There just aren't enough of us that can do that. We need to rely on Jesus Christ. So as Christian soldiers, we have to be able to defend that stance. Now, the pacifists out there, and I would say the anti-Christian militia folks. Oh, wow. That came quick. We're going to be back after the break. If you want to call in and make a comment, 559-561-8225. I'm not going to debate anybody, but hopefully the people that are listening to this understand where we're coming from. So this is the Dutch Jones Radio Program. We've got 1.5 hour left. We're coming to you on Liberty Tree Radio and other outlets, and we'll be back right after this small, short, extended break.
I'm down on Zionists, so now I want to sing a new song. I want to be an extremist. I want to join a militia and wear camouflage. I want to be an extremist and run around and sing a rabble-rousing rebel song and sympathize with the skiddies who realize it was the Germans wrong. I want to be an extremist. I want to get the job done. Now what's so bad about being extreme? If I'm extremely innocent, if I'm extremely keen, if I'm extremely paranoid, it's because of what I've seen. It's written in between the lines of every magazine. The FBI, the CIA are working for the KGB and getting in my way. Because they don't like my politics, they dog me every day. I'm getting tired of telling them the problem is oy they. The enemy is communism. I want to be an extremist. I want to join a militia and wear camouflage. I want to be an extremist and run around and sing a rabble-rousing rebel song and sympathize with the skinnies who realize it was the Germans wrong. I want to be an extremist.
I just want to get the job done.
Wants to know the truth, but all he gets is phony news. His state of mind is captured by the mob's opposing views. His only guarantee is that he shouldn't be amused. Some may win, but most will lose. Their lives are only figments of the thoughts they cannot.
statues, and I doubt you'll ever see me on the 6 o'clock news, exposing lying, thieving, cheating communists. Who made me sing you this song? I want to be an extremist. I want to join a militia and wear camouflage. I want to be an extremist and run around and sing a rabble-rousing rebel song and sympathize with the skinnies who realize it was the Jews who did the Germans wrong. I want to be an extremist. I want to get the job done. I want to be an extremist and I just want to have fun.
Cha-cha-cha.
In the best conditions, the human body will die after 3 days without water. Having access to clean, drinkable water in a disaster, survival situation, or military action is critical when putting together your survival plan and survival kit. Whether you choose to boil, filter, purify, or use some type of chemical treatment, something must be done when planning your survival, escape routes, and plans, and putting together your bug-out bag or simply your rucksack. That's why I have chosen to offer Sawyer brand water filters. These filters used in the medical industry for kidney dialysis exceed the needs for water purification. With different units available, the basic unit that you should get will be capable of filtering up to 500 gallons a day and will not need to be replaced until you have surpassed 1 million gallons through that filter. I know that's hard to believe, but it's a fact. They've been using these filters overseas for years in the missionary fields and in post-disaster recovery efforts. The filters are lightweight and simple to use, so whether you attach it to a 5-gallon bucket, to a water bladder, or to a 10,000-gallon tank, these filters can do the job for you. They can handle up to 40 PSI, and with different fittings and ingenuity, you can even apply them to inside, inline water supply systems into your house, cabin, or survival structure. So I'm asking you to go to djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer water filters. Order them through us. You will save at least $5 off the retail price of buying them from Sawyer Direct. And as always, the money goes to help the radio ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So, do something right for your family, get them prepared for a disaster or calamity, and you're helping us out. So don't forget, djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer brand water filters.
A Christian nation, the Philippines stand as a mighty bulwark of Christianity in the Far East, and its capacity for high moral leadership in Asia is unlimited.
There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
For nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel.
Put out all points, bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention.
World order. A new world order.
Attention.
This is
an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones. Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Tell yourself the truth.
What?
Tell yourself the truth.
Who is that? Manning? Is that Pastor Manning?
That's right.
That great white supremacist, Pastor Manning.
Oh yeah.
We enjoy his little sound effects that Lou put together there. Thank you, Lou. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program, and we're coming to you live right now. It is June, what am I looking at here, 17th? 17th, 2010. This is a live call-in show. Not always. Sometimes it's a dead call-in show. 559-561-8225. I'm talking to you a little bit about the Christian paradigm of war, and I'm also using Peter Hammond, Pastor Peter Hammond from South Africa. Just one of his teachings, and we're doing our very best to share with you where we're coming from and what we believe is the only way that will bring us victory in this war of federal aggression. Now, Pastor pacifism is strictly humanism, and anybody who argues any different hasn't studied the facts. Pacifism is a tool of communism. They teach pacifism as one of their ideals of man so that the peasants won't resist. I mean, every Marxist communist dictator, whether he's a Leninist, a Stalinist, whatever, you know, a Maoist, teaches that, oh, pacifism is beauty and we all get along and in solidarity. Meanwhile, they're building a stockpile of arms and making sure that you don't have access to them. Now, despite some impressive but superficial Christian ideals, pacifism is humanism. In common with humanism, pacifism shares a false idea of man. It sees man as basically good. You've heard Christians, well, I know I'm going to heaven because I've basically been good. Or, oh, I know she went to heaven. Well, she was a Christian. No, but she lived a good life. Now, to the pacifist, all people are just too good to kill. Not rapists, murderers, child molesters, IRS agents, bat fags. That's one of the best things I ever got from listening to Mark Kornke, the phrase bat fag. Nor terrorists deserve to be stopped in the view of a pacifist. And that's a defeatist attitude that the communists have put out there. In contrast to this notion, of people being basically good, the Bible teaches us that the heart of man is desperately wicked and deceitful, that they are quick to hurt and kill. They leave ruin and destruction wherever they go. Everyone has sinned and is far away from God's saving presence. And that's from like the New Living Testament in Romans 3, 15 and 23. Pacifists often display more concern for the aggressor than for the defender, more sympathy for the criminal than for his victim. And we see that as state after state drops the death penalty here. You know, all the state are murderers. But biblically, if a state does not put a murderer to death, they are anti-law. They are anti-God, God's law. A murderer must be put to death. As with a rapist, under the different conditions. A child molester, definitely. It is better that they have a millstone tied around their neck and be thrown into the sea than they be allowed to live, right? It's right there. Now, pacifism also has a false idea of God. It fails to understand the holiness and justice of God. It ignores the wrath of Almighty God against sin, like I just said. Now, the pacifist seems to fail to understand the nature of God. They must see God as a pleasant, you know, little old man in the corner, the grandpa that gives you the little Werther's candy. And he's either too blind or too stupid to see the sinful man for what he is, or he's too gentle to want to punish evil. And we see that in, you know, how many parents don't discipline their children? That's where it starts. I'm not saying you should kill your children. But if Lewis turned out to be a rapist or a murderer, that's a different story. But when you're raising your kids and they steal from the cookie jar, and rather than spank them, you go, oh, you little kid, you know, instead of slapping their hand, that's where it starts. We become ungodly in our homes. Actually, we become ungodly in our hearts first, and then it extends into our homes. Now, what kind of God would be unmoved by ruthless sadists torturing Christians in concentration camps? Do we really think that God will not punish those who kill and cripple the innocent through car bombs, mines, and you know, spray and pray drive-bys? Do we really think that God does not want to punish that gangbanger who gets thrown out of a party, goes back, and empties a magazine into the nearby houses as he drives by, hitting innocent victims with no concern for life or injury of anyone? Do you think God does not want us to punish that person by putting them to death when they take a life? So this Marxist, humanist, pacifist idea is the tool of tyrants. Now, I can spend all this next half hour going through all the Bible verses that show that God is not a pacifist. Old and New Testament both. But my favorite one, and I'm not even going to go to the Bible, I'm just going to tell you the story. When Jesus walks into his father's house and the Jews are there doing what? They're exchanging money in the temple. They're selling and buying, you know, doves and lambs and stuff for sacrifice. And the Jews are exchanging the coin of the realm for the coin of the temple and charging interest and things like that on it. So he comes in and tells them, you know, this is wrong. What have you done to my father's house? You got to clear out. And he has a righteous anger and hatred for these people. He sits down and he weaves himself up a whip. That's right, Jesus did macrame. Jesus worked in the leather arts. See, this reminds me of the scene from Talladega Nights. I don't see Jesus as that pathetic, skinny little guy nailed to the cross in all those Catholic churches, you know, the dead, dying God. I hate that. Basically, the guy was a carpenter his whole life. He drove wooden pegs. He sawed wood. He built houses. You know, he did all these things. He was like, you know, what you would consider a healthy, God-fearing, because he was God-fearing, a construction worker kind of guy, in good shape, didn't poison his body with tobacco or, you know, alcohol. He didn't get drunk. He drank the wine of the day. So he sat down and he put together this whip, and then he went to just kicking butt in the temple. You know, he didn't do like Obongo. I'm looking for somebody's butt to kick. I paraphrase because I don't want to lower myself to his vernacular. I'm going to find somebody's butt to kick over there. Oh, yeah.
Is that
no.
What he said?
Yeah, he said he was going to do that for the British Petroleum people. He said, but he used the A-double-S-S word. The other word for donkey.
What is wrong with
him? So, you know, false bravado is what I call that because he's a puke.
He's a thug.
Yeah, he's not even really a thug. He thinks he's a thug. He's like all these other people. He believes his, you know, own mind. He's a legend in his own mind. But Jesus then tore up that money-changing development, the banks there, and destroyed it and chased everybody out, whipping them. Does that sound like a pacifist God to you? Verses in the Bible, God crushes the skulls of our enemies. He makes them footstools under our feet. Does that sound like a pacifist God to you?
No.
We cannot and must not allow the enemies of today, of God, the enemies of God today, to redefine who we are by telling us how we must function, how we must conduct ourselves in warfare, or in our families. And when we allow them to tell us that, oh, pacifism, that's a Christian doctrine. And 99% of the churches in America do that today. I mean, you got Pelosi and Obongo going out and talking to the Catholic churches saying, tell your people to really fight for this healthcare reform. You know, tell them that they need to be part of this. They need to do this. The government will tell you to, you know, bring the church into the discussion when it fits them. But otherwise, oh, you guys just shut up, sit down, sit on your hands, don't say anything. Don't get involved in political discourse. Don't complain about our war. Don't complain about anything we're doing. You can tell because they're morally flexible to whatever fits them. But we as Christian soldiers cannot be morally flexible. We have to follow the old paths and walk in the old ways and stick to those doctrines, not what's been flushed up or washed up on the shore or being spewed out of the mouths of these tickle-your-ears pastors of today in the corporate churches. These flexible pastors that will do whatever they can to keep their 501c3 status so the IRS doesn't come in and take away their cash cow congregations. And I'm talking about just about any pastor on TV, any giant seeker-friendly church that's out there that tells you, oh, we're to be pacifists. And where are these church shootings happening? At churches like that. What is God telling us? What is God telling us? I tell you, an active shooter comes into our church, we're going to be digging a tiny little hole for what's left. And that's not a threat. That's a warning. That's a promise. And churches where people don't follow that doctrine, like the Colorado church a couple years ago when that idiot went around killing people at the Colorado Christian College and then went to the other church in Colorado Springs and started shooting it up. But they didn't follow that doctrine. They had armed people in the chapel, right? Their ushers were armed. And the female that took those shots said, clearly, God guided my hand. She had a .38 revolver. I think she had 5 rounds in it, maybe 6. I mean, I had an empty. And this guy had hundreds of rounds with an AK-47, and she charged him, and he missed, and she leveled him. You tell me God doesn't intervene on behalf of his Christian soldiers. And that goes to show you, you ladies out there listening, God calls Christian women to be soldiers too. Don't let the secular world say, oh, Christians are a bunch of chauvinists and that kind of stuff. We train our women up here to fight. Now, they may not necessarily be frontline fighters, but we know if they get by us, they get a whole nother fight coming when the women pick up guns. Trust me. Yeah. It's always been traditionally our better shots. And I'm just talking accuracy. They've always been women. And they always shoot for the groin area on the FBI targets at first. We train them later to move the target, the hit zone a little higher.
Right here.
You know, center mass. Center of the mass.
Yeah, well, that's what you taught me.
But it's always funny to me that when we first introduce our ladies to the shooting range and we use your typical FBI-style target, they're always like, why are you shooting down there? I don't know. It just seems natural. You know, we're like, okay, that's just, you know, that's just wrong. You know, I don't. Yeah, we want two to the body, one to the head. Or actually, now we're teaching two to the head. You know, it's just getting that way. The shooting I'm talking about is the Colorado shooting. Someone's asking what I'm talking about. In Colorado, time flies. I think it was 2 years ago. There was a discharged student from Colorado Christian College that was on all kinds of medications, and he went on a shooting spree at Colorado Christian College. I think it was Lakewood, Colorado. Then he drove south to Colorado Springs to a large corporate church there, but they had a paradigm shift, and they were training. We've had church shootings up here in California, never on our property. We did have one person in a news group, not a news group. What do they call them now? What do you call them when you post stuff? I can't remember. Well, it was a website. A
poster?
For anarchists. Blogger. Not a blogger. It was for anarchists. It was in a thread. In a forum. Thank you, Lou. And they were saying, hey, we can't go up there. They're all armed. This guy goes, well, I got a lever action 357. Maybe I should bring that. And I was like, go ahead. Because he didn't know we were monitoring him.
Do I get the 357?
Yeah. And we were like, yeah, I've always wanted one of those lever action 357s. Go ahead. Bring it to our property and threaten us with it. You know, it's kind of like in Shooter up here. You know, somebody does something like that, we call the sheriff a couple of weeks later, he just says, okay, just, you know, don't tell anybody else about it. Somebody does something stupid like that. But just because we're Christians, don't think we're easy targets. We're wolf, you know, we're sheepdogs. I don't say we're wolf dogs. We're sheepdogs. There's a difference. I'm not a shepherd. I'm not a pastor. I don't know the Bible. That's why I have to always bug Lou to help me with it. I get the context. I get the grand, big, sweeping, context. But I just don't, you know, remember that stuff. I don't have a good memory anymore. You know, too many M&Ms back in the 80s. And
too many crowns up your
nose.
Yeah. So we've got to make sure. Yeah, the ushers were armed at the church, Chuck. They had.
I never heard that story.
Yeah, you have. We've talked about it before. You've just forgotten it. Yeah. When Jesus saw how corrupt men were desecrating the temple with their money-grabbing greed, he made a whip, overturned the tables, and drove them forcibly from God's house. That's Matthew 21, verses 12 and 13.
It's
in case
John 2.
It's in John 2 also, Lou says. So if you don't believe me, Matthew 21, verses 12 and 13, don't trust me. You don't know me. You don't know nothing about me.
You
don't know me. I'm just a voice on the computer and whatever radio you're hearing this on. Test everything I tell you. When Jesus returns to this world, it will be as a conquering King of Kings. No king but King Jesus. And Lord of all lords. The Bible teaches us that the first time Jesus came as a Savior, and all who turn from sin and trust in Christ, follow Him in obedience, are saved. That's all men. All races, all creeds, all colors. Stop calling me a racist. The two or three of you that keep sending me stupid stuff. Let's see, where was I? But when Jesus comes again, it will be as a judge. And all who have not repented and obeyed Him will be condemned and eternally punished. Now, I'm not talking end time stuff here. That's a topic for another show. You'll be surprised what I believe. But Jesus is not coming back to go, oh, my children, I love you so much. I don't, you know, they always make him sound like Michael Jackson. No, he's coming back, and he's going to take those that honored him, that followed his way, and tried to reach others, and occupied this territory while our general was away.
Then what's going to happen to the others?
And then the others are going to be judged. And the scary thing is that we serve a righteous, just God. And the scary thing is, we serve a righteous, just God. He will judge us by who we are. Not by what we say we are. Not by who we pretend we are. Not by what others define us as, but by who we really are. Now, the scripture warns us that when Jesus returns, he will annihilate the forces of the false church and the Antichrist. We are told that rivers of blood will flow from the carnage of mankind's rebellion against Christ. That's in Revelations 14, 19 and 20. Now, I got Revelations 19, 11, 15 and 16 here, but this is from the New Translation, so I'll give it to you, and if anything's different than King James, I apologize. With justice, he judges and makes war. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty, King of Kings and Lords of Lords. There are many words, and names rather, to describe God in old Hebrew texts. And several of them, a large are about God of war, God who makes war, God who is vengeful, God the destroyer. You know, it's not all, God the provider, Abba Father, you know, that kind of stuff. To simply put God on a shelf, to put Jesus on a shelf and say, oh, he's this, you know, cuddly little old guy who comes down, brings cookies and presents every once in a while, that's the way of the enemy. And any pastor or system of belief that does that is Antichrist. I'm not saying they're the Antichrist. I'm saying they are Antichrist. Listen to how I say it and what the emphasis is on. And we as Christian militiamen cannot forget that. We're Christian soldiers first. We're patriotic American militia members second. You know, you can separate the two, but it's better that we don't. Now, pacifism has an unrealistic view of society, too. You guys see it, and I see it. The reality of this world is that it is a fallen world inhabited by sinful mankind in rebellion against the Creator. Idealistic fantasies about a world of peace and utopia without war or cruelty is false. And it's sick. It's a sick thing to put that in the minds of our children. Oh, if we all just get along, if we all just celebrate Earth Day, if we all just stop global warming, the world will be a great place. If we all just accept each other's weirdities and oddities and savageries and forgive everyone everything they do, this world will just be perfect. You know, peace at any cost. How many times have we heard that?
What about the murderers and the rapists? And
the the murderers, the rapists. We're not even talking on global issues. We're talking in your own neighborhood here. Go to Megan's Law and see how many... I don't know if it's outside California. I'm naive on that one, but... Look for websites that list how many child molesters are in your neighborhood. Yeah. Evil surrounds us.
Yeah, and people.
And you're supposed to just go, oh, that's okay. We forgive that guy.
Him? No.
No. Peace at any cost is a Marxist ideal. Yeah. It's a Hegelian dialect. It's what the New World Order uses to make us sheep. To make us believe we're getting part of what we want, which is better than none of what we want, when in reality they've gotten everything they wanted through the art of compromise. And I'm sorry, but as Christian soldiers, we cannot compromise on these facts. These rock-solid truths. We serve Jesus Christ and no one else. Now, he will anoint leaders over us, and as long as they are just leaders, we can follow them. People always say, well, you're a Christian. How can you be anti-government? That's just wrong. We are anti-corrupt government and ungodly government. It can be the most decent government in the world, but if they don't acknowledge who they truly serve, because let's put it this way, and you guys know this. If the government gives you your freedom, the government can take it away. If you get your freedom from God, no man can take it away. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. Better men have said it much better than that, but it boils down to that. Any privilege that you have can be taken away. But the Declaration of Independence says what? Unalienable rights. No one can file a lien against them, let's put it that way. They come from God, from the Creator.
I'm trying to get in there.
We only got about 3 minutes left.
I wouldn't even.
So we cannot sell short on this. This is one thing that we cannot say, well, we're Christian militias. If we're going to work with the other worldly militias, we got to shut up a little bit. We got to stop pushing the full crown rights of Jesus Christ. No. If people have a problem with what we're doing, the problem is with them, not with us. Mrs. Adams once said, I cannot contemplate a patriot that is not a Christian. How could one be a patriot and not be a Christian? They go hand in hand, and you cannot be a patriot if you are not a Christian first. And that's going to offend a lot of people, maybe even on Liberty Tree Radio. But the fact of it is, you cannot be free without Jesus Christ. You can convince yourself you're free, but it can be snatched up so quickly by the next guy who rolls into town with a little more force than you because you're not living by a higher code. That doesn't mean there won't be sacrifice. That doesn't mean that there won't be loss and pain and misery. I'm not trying to sell you something here. But when you decide to stand in the gap, when you decide to make a stand for Jesus Christ and all that encompasses, you will be protected. But you will still be susceptible to the slings and arrows of your enemies. But what it will do is help guide you in a wiser manner in how to fight war. The book of the Bible is a great book of wars. Everything that you need to know about warfare is in the Bible. And there's a lost book called The Wars of God that is spoken of by historians of the day, of the Old Testament day, and it's been lost. And I hope they find it in my lifetime, or that, you know, that it's raised, because I would love to see it. Just the logic and the wisdom on how to defeat our enemies that must be in that. And the Lord will keep our enemies around even when we're victorious until the end, because we always need to have enemies so that we do not forget the ways of warfare. He did that to Israel. He left certain tribes around to harass them so that the children of Israel would not forget how to fight. And this nation, our children have forgotten how to fight. You don't believe me? Talk to a military recruiter. These people are so programmed to do nothing more than play video games and sit on their fat butts all day. They don't even know how to go outside. They don't know how to punch somebody. They don't even know what it feels like. And what's happening is those evil people out there, they know very well how to do it. They know very well how to do it. This has been the Dutch Jones Radio Program. We're coming to you from the church at Cahuilla in Cahuilla, California. And I want you to know that we are here and we're not going anywhere. And I encourage you to contact us, dutchjones.tk, dutchjones.tk. Visit the site, help us out financially, but definitely help us out with prayers. We will be back tomorrow. I have no idea what we're going to talk about, but there's one thing you got to remember. The sword is heavy, the battle is hard, but victory belongs to the Lord alone, and there is nothing you or I can do to change that. Nothing at all. So may the Lord bless you and all you do to stand in the gap in the holy cause of liberty. And remember, in this, the second war of federal aggression, we will be victorious, but we got to show up. We'll be back tomorrow. God bless you all. And the cost of operation may well be rising, but the fact is that you lose more than you earn. This Saturday morning there will be an auction underneath a cold gray country sky. And while the rest of the nation is still sleeping, they'll be bidding America goodbye. This Saturday morning.
enlisted in the Union Army. Someone throws a uniform on you, sticks a gun in your hand, teaches you to march, and then sends you to war. Well, that's what it was like during the Civil War, where soldiers trained for as little as 3 weeks before they were thrown into battle against each other.